If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and we've got a treat here tonight. We've had one Michigan State person. Now we're going to have a second Michigan State person to preview this game. We have Matt Sheehan from Locked On Spartans, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And Matt has agreed to come over and give us a little preview for Illini guy subscribers, a little bit of a preview of what's going to go on with Michigan State. But Matt, why don't you tell people where they can find your podcast and where they can find you and follow you?
Yeah, either YouTube or anywhere you get your podcast, Locked On Spartans, just as you said. But if you want to yell at me on the internet, that's Sheehan_sports. I will be the one probably having these series of meltdowns on Saturday afternoon as the Spartans take on the Illini. And then maybe even early this basketball season. Who's to say? I don't really know what to expect other than just a lot of angst. So, yeah, that's where to find me. This is
totally weird because as a long, long time Illini fan, we had our heyday in the 80s and the early 90s. Well, actually in the 80s because the Bruce Pearl and those guys took care of the Illini basketball program. But so we had our heyday of being ranked for about a decade in both sports. Mm-hmm. And then ever since then, the basketball team has been hot and cold. But the football team has been cold except for maybe two seasons.
Yeah.
So now we've finally got – if you would have told me at the start of the year that Illinois would have a shot at going 10-2 and Michigan State would be at the bottom of the conference, I would have laughed.
Oh, I would have been alarmed too. But now here we are. Now I just am alarmed, not hypothetically. I just actually am. So here we are. No, I just did a podcast with another – Illinois personality as well. And I said, hey, during the offseason, we would get the question all the time. What game are you most worried about? And we thought, hey, this would be a great season. Peach Bowl champions, Tuck coming. It's all great. And I said, the Illinois game, keep your eye on that. That's going to be a trap game. It's going to be after an emotional Michigan State, Michigan game. Look, in Champaign on this Saturday, there's going to be a team in the top 20 trying to hang on to any shot at Indianapolis or just a good season. Well, Mike, I was correct. I do want to say
100%.
I just got the teams completely mixed up in the complete opposite direction. And I don't even know if this is considered a trap game anymore for Illinois. It's a steep spread that we're looking at here, but I imagine we will talk about it here on the show.
Illinois sports fans have what we call Illini football fan PTSD. Sure. And it's because when things happen to the Illini football program, it has typically been out of their control and not in their favor.
Yeah.
And, and all of a sudden, as much as we find it hard to believe, less than 2 years ago, Brett Bielema was driving to Penn State to watch the Illini play, getting interviewed by every media, corporation. And if you would have said that in less than 2 years, he's going to have his team in position to make a run at the West Championship. Oh. No one in America would have believed that, period.
No.
Except for Brett Bielema.
And good for him. Yeah, I honestly would have thought that at least two meteor strikes happened on Big Ten West campuses and the other schools just got sanctioned beyond oblivion. Like that's honestly what I would have thought for this roadmap to happen. But nope. It's just Brett Bielema doing Brett Bielema things. That's it. I mean, he's back in the Big Ten and he is back with a vengeance. So
yeah,
good for you. It has been great rooting for you guys from afar. Like, look, I'll root for you guys the other 11 or soon to be 12, maybe even 13 games this season. Let's get nuts. But like this Saturday can't do it. But man, like right. this is a nice little feel good story here going on in Illinois. And like with that said, though, it's not like you guys are some plucky little team. Like, holy smokes, man. You guys are like actually good.
Well, you know, this
is crazy.
The interesting thing is Lovie Smith, for all of his faults, because he had a horrible tenure from a wins and loss standpoint, but he did have an eye for talent. He just didn't have the staff that could develop it, you know, and you're seeing that with, you know, Kirby Joseph, who's playing for the Detroit Lions and playing relatively well for the Lions. You know, he was a guy that nobody knew what he could do, and he makes all, you know, he gets on some All-American teams. Lovie Smith, he was just buried, and you know, you put him at safety and under Bielema and under Ryan Walters, who is an unbelievable defensive coordinator and coach, and all of a sudden, this guy who didn't really see the field much, didn't contribute much to Illinois, is a standout of phenomenal proportions. And we were thinking as a fan base, how do you replace this guy? And then you end up having, you know, Devin Witherspoon, who's been as high as the 13th pick in some mock drafts, which that seems exorbitant, but nonetheless,
let's dream.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have Quan Martin, you have Sidney Brown. So you've got three guys back there who now could be drafted. And you really have to look and say, you know, you've got a coach who believes in developing his players, and they've gotten a staff that can actually do it. And really, this is just a showing you that really since 1992, when John Makovic, you probably weren't born then, which is, I don't.
It was my birth year.
Okay. Jesus.
I was before the season. Okay.
That's perfect. Right. Perfect. So you were here. Yeah. So when John Makovic, I guess actually at the end of 91, when John Makovic left and went to Texas, we haven't had a fully rounded football coach who could run a program, could coach, could recruit, you know, do everything. We had a guy who might recruit, we have a guy who might coach well. But not all of them. And it took from 1991 when he walked out the door to when Brett Bielema came in to get a coach who could do that. And it just goes to show you how critical it is.
No doubt.
So one of the things I'm going to bring up, and I can truly say I'm an impartial observer on this.
Sure.
But it seems like for 95 years in Michigan Stadium, one tunnel was okay, or 94 and three quarters years.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, last year with the Ohio State game, and then the Penn State game, and now the Michigan State game, one tunnel is not big enough at all. So I have a theory on this.
Please.
It is universities that are state universities that can't handle this. Because it was Ohio State University, Penn State University, and Michigan State University, and they all wore white jerseys.
I mean, the proof is in the pudding, right there.
So here's the point that I had, you know, that I've had discussions with people is it's certainly in a, you know, it's not acceptable. And probably in some cases illegal to put hands on another human being if you're being verbally accosted. And so there's no way you can justify the Michigan State behaviors of those individuals. I'm not trying to say the whole team, but those individuals you can't justify. But I think there's also, it can also be true to say that the kind of chip that Jim Harbaugh is trying to put on this team's shoulder may be having some side effects that are potentially causing something, because for the first 94 years of this esteemed stadium, there really weren't a lot of problems. You might have heard a couple stories on the Woody versus Bo thing about some jostling, but never anything big. You obviously are biased. You're a Michigan State guy.
100%,
but what are your thoughts on this?
I could go on for hours, but quite frankly, I don't want to because I'm just so annoyed with the dialogue going back and forth because no one is going to listen to the other side. Everyone's going to pick their side. But just like you said off the top right there, I mean, is it ever okay to take your helmet and beat it on someone multiple times just because they skipped into you? No. No, probably not. I have a hard time justifying that whatsoever. Call me weak, call me soft, but that might cause a suspension, if not even a little more than that. But yeah, 95 years, and all of a sudden this tunnel starts to become an issue. And it's a team that has been doing well over there in Ann Arbor, and they are feeling themselves, no doubt about that. But also a little bit infallible, right? It's odd that they are never at any fault for anything that ever happens in the tunnel ever. Look, it's kind of bizarre to, after a game, just skip into a tunnel into the other team's players instead of just hang out on the field and celebrate with your team. It is a little bizarre. And again, am I saying that, oh, he had it coming? No, but I can see how it came. I mean, what did you think was going to happen? It seems like they do a lot of barking over there in Ann Arbor. And then also, well, when someone finally bites, okay, it does not go over well. And then you get the whole just awesome dialogue after that of just like, oh, MSU is a team of thugs. Tucker should be in jail. It's just, if you're not in the state of Michigan, you're missing out on some great, great dialogue. And then like, even I'll call people out of my own fan base. They're saying like, oh, the suspensions are too much. Like, guys, come on. Like, look at the video. It's not good.
Right.
But it's just, oh, so annoying. But it's just going to keep happening because this is one of the rivalries, too, that there is no respect in. Like, this isn't one of these nice, fun rivalries like, hey, let's all get together, have a cocktail party, look at all the history we have behind us. Oh, hey, house divided. I'll go to the game with you, bud. Like, there's deeply rooted hatred here, and it has only gotten worse since Jim Harbaugh is here. Is he the only reason that it's gotten to this level? No, of course not. I'm not that stupid. Like, there's a lot of factors that play into this, but you can kind of connect some dots here that, coach over there isn't necessarily taking any accountability to anything that ever happens any of the times. But,
it does seem as though Jim Harbaugh appears to, and this is just from the outside looking in, because he doesn't care about anything that either of us would have to say.
No,
but it appears like he's decided that his team is going to be meaner and tougher than what he perceives Ohio State to be. And I'm really interested in seeing, with Jim Knowles on board and the maturity of that Ohio State team, will they be a different breed than what Michigan played last year?
Yeah.
And Ryan Day certainly has beaten the snot out of teams, running up the score on teams, not showing a ton of class. I got to be honest with you. You know, when I see, and he may be the best coach in the country. He could very well be. I just think it's hard to prove it when your first job is Ohio State. In essence,
a little bit. Yeah.
When Urban Meyer, you know, God bless his off-field antics, but when Urban Meyer was at Bowling Green, where he proved his coaching chops, he went to Utah and built something there.
Yeah.
He then went to Florida and won a couple national titles. He then went to Ohio State. When he got to Ohio State, it's easy to say he may be the best coach in the country, or he may be there, you know, 1-2 behind Saban. When Ryan Day gets there, he shows up and he's frustrated that he doesn't get respect. Well, part of it is you didn't do anything yet. Not that anybody says he's bad, but I have to admit this, you know, running up the score at the end of the games, the old saying, karma's a blank. Well, you have to be a blank before the word karma gets invoked.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it is like a big year for Ryan Day, which is crazy to say, like Rose Bowl champions. And like, that's right. been my cut. It's not a joke actually, but I've been saying it in a joking tone. Like I've never seen a team just more mundane celebrating a Rose Bowl title in Pasadena. Like you would have thought they just took home like the Cheez-It Bowl or something like that. And that, when they're like, just like celebrating as if like they're almost disappointed, they just won a Rose Bowl for crying out loud. That's when I started to figure like, oh, Ohio State's going to get the death machine rolling here pretty soon next year. They are going to have no mercy on anyone. They're not going to care how high the score has to get to prove the point, and they're going to have it all clicking on all cylinders here and all building up to what's going on at the end of the year. And, yeah, just like you said, I mean, is the chip on the shoulder a big thing for Michigan? Maybe. Yeah, it probably has to be. But also they have reason to be confident in everything. But it's like, can you hold in that confidence within yourself so you're not getting pummeled in a tunnel by the other team at the end of the game? Are we getting a little too ahead of our skis here with that chip on our shoulder? But
yeah, that is, I think it's interesting. I would like to see, you know, you would hope that there's some analysis that's going to be introspective in this from the Michigan AD. I'm not certain based on, you know, the head slapping ability and things like that. I'm not certain that's going to be something that there's going to be a lot of inward taking a look at, but because there is a lot of right now, Jim Harbaugh's, he played the victim against Penn State, you know, so it seems like that. But I will say the interesting thing about Ryan Day was last year, the Buckeyes went 11-2. And it was like, it was like an apology to Buckeye Nation for going 11-2. Right. Well, I got it interested. Do you know how many times the Fighting Illini football team has won 11 games?
Oh, not to be disrespectful, it can't be a high number, though. One?
You got one more than it's happened.
Hey, there we go. Okay. So that was nice at least. All right.
So Illinois has won 10 games like twice or three times. Yeah. I forgot. But so here's an apology for a year that would be literally the greatest year in Illinois football.
No kidding, so, right? Yeah.
And so I can see what Jim Harbaugh, I can see why there's a fear. And even as a school as great as what Michigan has done on the football field, you know, Ohio State since 1951's had five losing seasons. So if you're going to knock them off their throne, you got to be carrying a big punch. I just wonder if the side effects are worth it or not. We'll see.
Yeah, no, I know. And it's just like this, mature or immature, one of my takeaways immediately after the tunnel fight is like, I'm already annoyed. Like this dialogue is going to go on for not just for the next few days, but for the next few weeks. And then of course, like just being dragged out. I don't want to point fingers, but just like you said, Jim Harbaugh played the victim after Penn State, and oh boy, does he really love to play this card pretty strongly here. I mean, MSU suspends four players. Next time he steps up to a microphone, he's like, no, an apology isn't enough. Like, Jim, we're in investigation right now with authorities. Like, this doesn't just happen in 12 minutes. Four guys already suspended. There's more to be coming, too. Like, what more do you want? Like, if you just want us to cancel our football program forever,
don't tempt him.
I was gonna say, like, I think that's what they want. It's like they just want Michigan State just gone forever. It's like I'm sorry that all we've done is suspend our best player in Jacoby Windman, suspend seven more on top of that, like cooperating with authorities in these investigations. Like, what more do you want, Karen? I'm sorry, we're trying our best over here to establish discipline and a culture here, which I think, you know, look, the incident, horrible. The response from Michigan State, as good as you could probably hope it to be. It's not like they're just using an excuse like, oh, we had a glitch over here on our end and just moving on with life. I mean, it's no, there's actually accountability going on. And for some reason, it's just not enough. Like, how long does the victim card get to be played if you're Harbaugh? But what? No one plays it better than him.
All right. So we had to go through that because, you know, it's the big story now. So let's talk a little bit about the game on Saturday, which
there is a game, isn't there?
Yes. Yeah. And we've heard it's good, you know, to be honest with you, the weather looks like it could be, it looks like it could be a little nasty. So that might limit the game somewhat. But let's talk about this. The Fighting Illini come into this with the number one defense in the country, which I've never seen in my life. And it's kind of cool. Okay. Oh, sure. I'm not certain it'll be that way by the end of the year, but it is still a cool thing to have. They come in lowest points, lowest yards. You know, they've had a stellar season so far. How do they match up against this Michigan State offense that defensive coordinator Ryan Walters said have the best wide receivers that the Illini will see this year?
Fantastic question, because that might be our only shot here of getting anything going against Illinois, because the run game at Michigan State there's been a lot to be desired. Of our Big Ten games, we have one Big Ten game where we average over 3 yards per carry, and like some games didn't even get close to that number. I just looked last week, and against Michigan, I think it was like 1.8 yards or something like that. Ohio State, 0.4 yards. It just has not been good whatsoever. And then, hey, you get the questions. Well, is it the running backs? Is it the offensive line? Is it the play calling? It's kind of a cocktail of everything. You know, it's not great right now. To start the season, our third string running back is now almost like the split starter in Eli Collins. And he has shown good stuff. But is he the split starter now because, okay, he's actually done really well this year? Or because the two transfers you got in Jalen Berger and Jarek Broussard have left a lot to be desired. Now, Jalen Berger, you know, he has some good moments, a little bit of power to him. But Jarek Broussard, which, look, the 2020 Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year, if you want any indication that maybe the COVID year was really fluky in college sports, look to him winning that award as, like, Exhibit A. I don't want to be mean about it, but let me just say the meanest thing I possibly can about it because, oh, boy, he doesn't play anymore. Like, he can't put himself on the field. So that's where we're at with the run game. We can't do it. We just don't. We can't. But, yeah, so that leads us to really the bright spot on the whole team, the wide receivers, just like Ryan Walters said. I mean, Jaden Reed's awesome. Keon Coleman is amazing. Old friend Daniel Barker, good red zone target. Yeah. In theory, though, but here's the thing. All this is in theory because not really getting the ball to these playmakers as much as you would like. Keon Coleman had a great first half against Michigan last week. He almost, did eclipse 100 yards in the first half, but double teamed in the second half. Could never find him. And, yeah, so it's one of those classic examples of, hey, way easier said than done just to get the ball to your, you know, Sunday players is what I like to call him because, there's just been a lot on Peyton Thorne's plate as well. And I can soliloquy about him if you'd like me to right now. But, oh, what a season for him.
How's the offensive line doing this year?
It's not. No. Look, pass protection, like, it can be okay at times. Like, they have glimpses of greatness. But, like, it's just the run game can't get a push. And, like, you can just go back to last week to find two shining examples of how tough it is. First half, 4th and 1, ball near midfield. And you go from the pistol because why not? That was stuffed. That was never going to work. And then a more important 4th and 1 at Michigan's 5-yard line when the game was still in reach. They could have run that play 100 times. That was going to be a loss of yards all 100 times. So, it's like the push in the front game isn't there. The offensive line, look, they're not the worst I've ever seen in college football history, but it ain't cutting it up here, man. It's not good. And Unfortunately, there's like a lot of like older experienced players too. And it's like, oh, great. This is our ceiling too. This is as good as it gets. It's not like we could be like, oh, hey, young guys getting right in there, blossoming soon. Like, oh no, this is unfortunately it for us. And this is what we have.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, they've got a couple good receivers. And, of course, Nebraska has Trey Palmer, who's, one of the leading receivers in the Big Ten. And Illinois was able to bracket him and held him to one reception for 1 yard on 7 targets. And so it might be a little harder to do that when you got two really good receivers on each side.
That's our hope. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And of course, the defensive line has been extremely good, getting, Johnny Newton, in particular, along with Gabe Yakas, have been just phenomenal. And Gabe Yakas, if you get a chance when you're watching the game, watch for him, number 17. He is a freshman who looks like, as a freshman, he looks like a senior Whitney Mercilus. Walks the same way. And you know, you get a guy who was, I don't know how he was a three-star, to be honest with you. Tennessee obviously looked at him. Illinois won the recruiting battle. Two-time state heavyweight champion in high school. So you see this kid, and he's just, he's got more athletic ability in his pinky than I had in my entire body. And then he's very disciplined. And as a freshman learning the game, he's got guys on the field who can help him and let him know what's going on. And then he's obviously got a very good staff in yep. terms of supporting him, helping develop him as he goes. So that matchup will be a one that we're watching as Illini fans. We're hoping to see a game similar to what happened with Iowa or Minnesota, where you can keep them, you know, in the low teens as a ceiling and win this game. Looking on the other way, when the Illini offense is out on the field, Chase Brown leading the country in rushing yards, although the Michigan fans will say, well, he doesn't have as many yards per carry as our guy. And you're like, look,
great. Cool.
They awesome. Still do rushing leaders by how many yards you have. Sorry.
Yeah.
but anyway, so we've got, we've got the offense built around that, but I think the differentiator is that Tommy DeVito has been much more accurate than what we anticipated. And really what we have here, and it took me a while to figure this out, but what this is a college version of the 1990 New York Giants. Because basically you've got a quarterback who might have, you know, two or three incompletions,
mm-hmm.
very accurate, not necessarily trying to kill the ball, but keeping drives alive, you know, 22 completions for, let's say, 200 yards.
Sure.
You've got Chase Brown with 150. Illinois' sophomore running back, Josh McCray, is just now coming back from a knee injury that he suffered earlier in the season. So he's the thunder of Brett Bielema's preferred thunder and lightning, 240-pound guy who he doesn't have a lot of wiggle, but he's got a lot of run over. And they've got an offensive line that was thought to be solid that has played beyond that. And to be honest, what really happened is early in the season, they were getting erratic play from guard, center, guard. And they've found a way to clean that up. And the team has played better. And they've also had a couple guys step up at wide receiver. They're not all-star wide receivers, but a couple guys, Pat Bryant and Brian Hightower, have played better than anticipated, which allows Isaiah Williams to play well, because we knew he was going to be good. How does this Illini offense match up with the Michigan State defense?
I'll tell you what, when your three-time Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year is suspended for the foreseeable future, the Illinois offense matches up pretty well against Michigan State's defense. It doesn't
hurt. We like hearing that.
Yeah, I bet. And look, Michigan State's strength on defense is stopping the run. A little hard to say that after Blake Corum had a good game last weekend, but who isn't he having a good game against? Right. That guy's a very tough runner, no doubt about that. But with this said, and I swear I'm not pandering to the Illini audience right now, I think Chase Brown is the best running back in the conference. Now, that might not seem like a hot take to Illinois fans, obviously, but you catch me saying that in Michigan, and oh, I might be the one getting a helmet swung at if I say that aloud around the wrong people. But yeah, I think the world of Chase Brown, he's going to be a tough guy to bring down. But just like I said, like, that's Michigan State's strength, but is it going to be strong enough to stop this and Illinois' offensive line? Maybe you do have Jacob Slade back. He was injured for a good chunk of the year, but is he 100%? Maybe not. You are going to be missing Zion Young, who I thought played great against Michigan last week. And then, he's suspended. He's one of the other guys suspended too. Brandon Wright is a defensive end that's suspended. You have the other name that I'm blanking right now. But, yeah, it's the depth has taken a hit, and I think that really eliminates any shot Michigan State has at stopping the run. because the depth really has just taken a hit in the defensive line here, and especially when you add that Jacob Slade isn't even 100% to begin with, and that I know it's going to be a nasty Big Ten weather game. Who knows how much of an air raid there will be, and it's not like, you know, DeVito is putting up 2019 Joe Burrow numbers, but unfortunately, our secondary likes giving up those kind of numbers to any quarterback that walks in. Tanner Morgan almost got drafted the day he played in Spartan Stadium, carving up our Spartans. And this is a pattern that's been going on since last year, where guys are just having career days against Michigan State. But one thing that does help, this happened 2 weeks ago, Xavier Henderson is back. He's a safety on this team. He's the captain. He's like the 17th year senior that all these guys rely on, and he's the calming force there. Is it a perfect band-aid? Is it a perfect fix? Like, no, of course not. Like, we are so far gone beyond just hoping that we can get this solved. We're just trying to mitigate any damage now. And damage was mitigated last week against Michigan. Yes, they gave up yards all throughout the air. J.J. McCarthy got a little nice runs. But one thing I do like about Michigan State's defense in this matchup is they do get red zone stops at a pretty decent clip, whereas Illinois offense, I understand, maybe sort of kind of struggles in the red zone. So
yes,
that's
do.
When I wake up on Saturday morning, because look, MSU could be playing the Kansas City Chiefs. I will wake up Saturday morning with one glimmer of hope. And that might be my glimmer of hope on Saturday morning is like, let's see if our defense – with, you know, our best player gone, can get some red zone stops here. That is where I see maybe a shining light. Maybe.
Yeah. Now, just so you know, right now it's still, you know, people will know we're doing this on Wednesday night. A high is predicted of 61. It looks like most of the rain showers will be in the morning. So that is good.
Okay.
But the wind is going to be southwest at 25 to 35 miles. And I'm telling you what, in Memorial Stadium, you don't know what direction that thing is going to swirl. So there are some games that literally, you know, depending on how it's going, that a quarterback can literally just open their hand and the ball can fly 40 yards. Or you can be throwing the ball into a wind like a special effect in Hollywood. So it's
unbelievable.
Yeah, so maybe that'll help counter the whole wide receiver thing. So
it might. I'm going through a crisis right now because I'm thinking of special teams now. And hey, our punter's great. Whatever.
I know your punter is great, but I could not believe how many field goals the Spartans have attempted this year.
That's why I was going through a crisis right now, because this isn't going to help our kicking issues right now, because it's a low number of field goals that we've made this year.
You've kicked four. You've attempted four.
Oh, yeah. We've trotted the team out four times. it's had the same result all four times, too, and it's not a good one. And, hey, you know what? Just for good measure, too, two missed extra points as well this season as well. So when I hear 25-mile-an-hour winds, I'm thinking, oh, that's going to be great for a kicking team that can't even kick a 19-yarder after a touchdown right at the uprights. That's perfect. That's great. Oh, God, I cannot wait for Saturday. Oh,
well, yeah, you know, like I said, that they do – it is a tough it is a very tough stadium as somebody who's older, who's had the – I've been watching games there off and on, you know, since the late 70s. And it can be brutal. It's perfect. Not quite as bad as it used to be, because they've got it a little bit more enclosed, but for the most part that could be a tough stadium. So now what are your predictions for what's going to happen this week, if you got to go on the record? I don't know if Locked On Spartans, if you guys do that or not, but in Illini guys, we do that so we can be wrong.
Yeah, no, my prediction is pain, despair, and me making a fool in front of my young child and, you know, his mom, my wife, having to tell him, like, no, daddy's okay. Like, everything's fine. Like, no, it's not. I'm not okay. so that's my prediction.
It's not fine.
It's not. I'm done lying to people. I'm done putting on this facade. It's not fine. I'm spiraling, because we got to win three of these next four games to qualify for the Quick Lane Bowl here in Detroit. And I don't think it's going to be the last game in Happy Valley, but man. So with that said, Spartans by 80. No, I'm kidding. Illinois 28, MSU 13. They score two touchdowns, miss an extra point. That's okay. Do this one. Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking, I was thinking that Brett Bielema is going to do a repeat of Nebraska and, you know, 26-6 maybe, yeah, you know, but yeah, six being a touchdown with a missed extra point.
You can count on it. Yeah. You can count on it. Oh, man. Oh, Mike, what a season this has been. The rest of college football has been very fun, though, including you right. guys. You know, this has been a great team to watch. And here's what else kills me about this guy. Sorry, now I'm just spiraling and rambling. But
that's
like,
fine.
Instead of watching, you know, Georgia, Tennessee, like every other great college football fan, like I'm spending Saturday doing this again. Like just being upset watching Michigan State. So that's another prediction, being upset at my decisions of what I watch on Saturday. So
I got to be honest with you, as an Illini fan, we do have that Illini PTSD. And mm-hmm. I am extremely worried about a team that was ranked 15th,
mm-hmm.
circling the wagons and having yeah. that one emotional moment. Because in basketball,
yeah,
the game after a big star gets hurt, that mm-hmm. next game, you'll see those teams do well. And then they win a game. And then the media yeah. is like, well, maybe they can win without so-and-so. And then reality yeah. hits and they lose by 40.
The Patrick Ewing theory. That's right. Yeah. Of yeah. course.
And so,
yeah.
and so if I'm Brett Bielema, I'm telling every story about some team that's yeah. winning without their 100%. Star player. I'm telling that story. I mean, I don't care who it is. And in fact, see, I'm not the best example, but I might even make up a few, you know, just to do. You
yeah.
know, you remember the time Tom Brady got hurt right before the Super Bowl and Elvis yeah, Presley's
right.
ghost
or Brian game. Hoyer got in there. Right.
Yeah, yeah, there we are. Yeah, there we are.
Fact check you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then do conditioning right after. So like they don't even have time to keep it in their memory to like go fact check it on their phone after the speech. Yeah. Like I like that. Start a 4-hour practice after you tell those stories. And
yeah, exactly. And tell the story and then go for it, because that's yeah. what I do. Ultimately, this team was ranked 15. And they do have the talent. There is no doubt. I look at them this year, and you're not going to like this analogy, but I look at them as pulling what I call pulling in Nebraska, where your team is the opposite of synergy, where the mm-hmm. sum of their parts is actually significantly less than yeah. what it should be. That's what I call Nebraska football under Scott Frost.
Unfortunately, yeah.
and this year, the Spartans haven't had that problem, but this year, It hit this year. I can't tell good. You why.
No, a smattering of issues. Oh boy, if we can go for another 3.5 hours, I'd love to go through all of it. But no, I don't want to bore all the Illinois fans about how we've gotten here. So,
yeah,
yeah.
Well, we do, Matt. We do appreciate your time. Folks, of course, you know, you can go to IlliniGuys.com, subscribe there. You get all the inside information. We have the number one guys covering the behind the scenes in terms of Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince. And of course, the beautiful thing is when you're wanting to hear what's going on around the league, what's going on with the Spartans, you go to Locked On Spartans. Anywhere that you have your podcast distributor, they're on everyone. You can get yeah. Locked On everywhere. So I would I had to hear their explanation of what happened in the tunnel. And sure. I will tell you that you go back and listen to that episode. Very entertaining. You get all the facts. It's also fun. There's some moments you get a laugh. And there's a couple moments you'll get a Kleenex out. You might even have a little tear dab to talk about.
We do it. You know, we do it all. That's right.
It's the full gamut of man emotions. And
we laughed in a half hour, cried, and then we cried again, and we cried some more, and then we cried even more on top of that. Yeah, no, it's been great. It's been awesome. So no, it's fun. And sometimes you'll get the people tuning in. It's like, this is not a professional podcast. Like, no, it's not. I'm an idiot fan with a microphone that just happens to have guests on sometimes that know what they're talking about. And sometimes, hey, even I act like I know what I'm talking about too. So yeah, we have fun on our podcast. It's a good time. We go through all the emotions. This isn't your press box down the middle sort of thing. Oh no, we spiral, baby. And yeah. we spiral with the best of them. Oh yeah.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Well, folks, yeah. you know where to find Matt at Locked On Spartans, and he is a good follow on Twitter. So make sure you look for him. Debatable. What's your handle on Twitter again?
Sheehan underscore sports. So you can come follow me and then unfollow me in roughly 2 weeks when it really gets off the hinges after a loss to Rutgers.
Well,
that's what
yeah. Yeah. If the basketball team has a rough year, it might be something that we just have to.
Exhibition the other night, they're down 5 at halftime to Grand Valley State. And I just felt a numbness wash over me. I'm like, you know what? Maybe we just walk away from this forever. But then they won by like 20 or 30, whatever. It was all fine. But oh, with the start of the schedule MSU has, it's DEFCON 1 over here.
They could be. I mean, I'll be honest with you. That may be the toughest first 4 or 5 games I've ever seen.
Izzo tried to schedule the Golden State Warriors and they must've been unavailable or something. I love Izzo. I love him like a family member, but like maybe pump the brakes just a little bit on the schedule this year. Just a little bit. Like, I know this is your whole MO anywhere, anyone, anytime, whatever, but like this year we have to do this.
Yeah.
This extreme, but oh, whatever.
Yeah. And for Illinois fans, you know, Northern Arizona, that's not the most intimidating, and that's not really what Matt's talking about. But then it's Gonzaga, Kentucky, Villanova, although thankfully Cam Whitmore broke that thumb, so that's a little bit of help. And then Alabama, and then either UConn or Oregon. So maybe
North Carolina, if things shake out in the PK85 like that.
Yeah.
So it's great.
So this could be, but I will say, in fairness to Coach Izzo, he has a lot of years that he starts off rockily and then you see him in the tournament causing all sorts of problems.
Oh, they will go to the Elite Eight now that I've doubted this team and said that this was a bad idea, because this happens every year and I'll never learn to stop doubting our Hall of Fame basketball coach, because it's a sickness that we have. And here we are. And he'll prove me wrong, and I'll be happy that he proved me wrong. So I know how the story unfolds. Who am I kidding?
Yeah. Well, I really hope you have the story correct on the Illini Michigan State game this Saturday. I like your version much better than your predictions on basketball here. So, but thank you so much for coming on the podcast here, and we really appreciate it.
You got it. This is great, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And of course, if you want to subscribe to IlliniGuys.com, go to IlliniGuys.com. You got 7 free days to kick the tires. Then you get charged $99 for the year. It is the best $99 an Illini fan can spend. So please go ahead, give us an opportunity. I think you'll really enjoy it. And we also have other podcasts. Sturdy for 30 is coming out, and that's Brad's award-winning podcast that really kind of started everything off. And that's been an anchor of the Illini guys since day one. We also have Ked's Recruiting Roundup, where Ked talks to the different recruits, their coaches, and the parents. So you can kind of see what it's like to go through the recruiting. If you do actually have a son or daughter who's getting recruited to a P5 school, just listening to a smattering of those would be really good to help you kind of understand the lay of the land. Additionally, and finally, we have the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That's our 2-hour sports talk show that is nothing but Illini. It is on 20-plus stations and 30-plus signals in the state of Illinois. It's on either Fridays or Saturdays. All you have to do is go to IlliniGuys.com, click on the radio button, and then when you do so, you can take a look for the cities that these stations are at, and what day and what time they're on, and you can tune us in. All we ask that you do is please go ahead and make sure that you call up the station and thank them for having us on the air. Give them that feedback. That would be greatly appreciated. With that, I'm Illini Guy Mike Kegley, and go Illini.